So it's a really, really fundamental question with regards to the whole topic of emunah and how emunah and bitachon relates to hishtadlus, how much effort am I supposed to put into making a parnasa or other areas, etc. And the question is, as you've illustrated very clearly, on the one hand, the more I grow in emunah and bitachon, in a sense, the less efforts I need to make, as many of the many of the Torah teachers teach us. Rav Dessler is one example. It says the more you grow in bitachon, in a sense, the more you realize you're completely dependent on Hashem. And then, in a sense, why would you make so much of your own effort? Again, yes, it may be at the highest levels of bitachon, which is super high, and most of us don't get to. A person is completely absolved of any of the need of making any effort whatsoever. But even if we're not speaking about the highest of the highest levels, which maybe few individuals can get to on a constant basis, but still, every single one of us on a constant basis in our own lives, there's a billion levels to bitachon, and the more bitachon I have, the less hishtadlus, in a sense, I need to make. So that's the one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is sometimes emunah and bitachon can be used, unfortunately, even by well-meaning people, but almost as an excuse to absolve ourselves from taking responsibility in this world. Hashem put us in this world, and we have to take responsibility for all our actions. And the one area which is a very, very big component of that is hishtadlus, is we have a mitzvah to make an effort to make things happen, to make it to do our part, at least as if we're making things happen, be it in whatever area one's dealing with. Let's say in parnasa, person's got to do the effort to try and make things work in terms of parnasa. And sometimes, if a person is almost lazy and wants to get out of it, they can say, you know what, I've got emunah, I've got bitachon, and I'm not going to read, and therefore they're going to absolve themselves from making the required effort. And your question is, how do I know exactly where I'm holding? On the one hand, I don't want to err on the side of doing too much emunah and hishtadlus, too much, I don't want to err on the side of doing too much hishtadlus, because as we've learned many times, that could actually borderline idol worship. Because just like by idol worship, I believe in another power, another entity has something outside of Hashem. So too, as the Mefarshim teach us, the one example, you can look at this, the Bir Halacha, right at the beginning, he brings the Sefer Achinuch. He says, you believe in any other entity, even if you also believe in Hashem, but you believe any other entity has any power whatsoever, that is Avodah Zarah, which means, yes, I believe Hashem's running the show, but I need to help him. Like the line that many people unfortunately say very commonly, that is very close to Avodah Zarah. Hashem does not need your help. You have a mitzvah of Hishtadlus, which again, as the Mesillas Sharim says, comes from the curse of Adam Arishon at the beginning because of the sin that he did. We have a curse. Remember, the Hishtadlus is a curse that we have to fulfill to make it look like we're making an effort. But again, to take to heart the words of the Mesillas Sharim, that the Hishtadlus that we do does not make a difference whatsoever in terms of the actual desired result. You go to work, you make it look like you're making money, but in truth, you make no money. Your money comes exclusively from Hashem. And when a person's believing, oh, I'm making money, I cut such a good deal, I this, I that, that is very close to Avodah Zarah. So that's the one side of the coin. Obviously, we don't want to go anywhere near. On the other side, as we've said, as we illustrated already, if a person just says, look, I'm not going to do any effort, or I'm going to do very little effort because I'm having emunah and bitachon. But again, if one's faking that emunah and bitachon, then in a sense, I'm just absolving myself from my responsibility of doing hishtadlus. And that's also certainly not, you're not fulfilling the mitzvah of doing hishtadlus. So how does one know? That's the bottom line question that we're dealing with here. And the answer is very simple. On the one hand, it's complicated. On the other hand, it's simple. Why it's complicated is because we don't have a set of laws about hishtadlus. Hishtadlus is one of the most complicated areas. It's not like we have a Shulchan Aruch, which details all the laws of the many, many intricate laws of so many areas in Yiddishkeit. You know, how do you wash your hands in the morning? Exactly what type of food is required for certain events? You know, and what type of tzitzis are you supposed to wear? How exactly are you supposed to dress? What are the laws of going to mikveh? All the different things, very intricate laws, you know, and the billions of laws that we have, literally, and the intricacies. However, when it comes to hishtadlus, we don't have such a set of laws. And as the Mefarshim teach us, the reason is because hishtadlus is really dependent on your bitachon, and it really, really varies from individual to individual. As it says, Hashem Tzilcha, many Mefarshim bring, Hashem is your shadow. If you put up five fingers into the rays of the sun and you will then see a shadow of five fingers. If you put up only one finger, you will see only one finger shadow. And in the same way, if a person relies on Hashem with five fingers, you will see Hashem coming through for you in a full sense of as if it's five fingers of your life. Whereas if a person's like, listen, I've got my own plans, I rely on Hashem a little bit, I also make a bit of my own plans, I only put up two fingers in reliance on Hashem. Hashem says, no problem. I will give you two fingers worth of reliance that you will see me coming through for you. The rest of it, it will appear as if what you're relying on is the truth. Remember, the Chovos HaLevavos right at the beginning also teaches us that when a person relies on another individual, on another something else, Hashem says, if you rely on something else, you become under their auspices. One of the most scary statements that we know. Because again, a person relies on their boss, and then they actually become in the hands of the boss. And then people come and they say, listen, I'm trying to have Emunah Bitachon, but look what happened. It seemed like I was in the hands of my boss. Yes, because if a person relies on their boss or something else or someone else, they actually become under their auspices. So we got to make every effort to stay very far away of relying on anyone else, on anything else, including on relying on ourselves. Because again, that's a very similar. You rely on yourself, Hashem says, no problem. You're relying on yourself, take care of yourself. Which is a terrible, terrible, terrible curse, both in this world and obviously for eternity, in terms of the consequences of what that means when a person didn't rely on Hashem. So that's why it's complicated, because it's so subjective, and we don't know really what level of Emunah and Bitachon we're holding at. On the other hand, it's so simple, because we're not expected to do anything more than our maximum capacity, and we do not know the full story and the full picture, and Hashem does not expect us to. So what does He expect us to do? As we've said so many times, Hashem expects us to reach out to Him in our own language, in our own way, to our best, to the best of our capacity, and just say to Him, Hashem, my dear Father, I don't want to err on the side of doing too much ishtadlus. There's a tremendous opportunity of Emunah and Bitachon in the world, which is ultimately the purpose of my life. Please, Hashem, help me that I should grow in my Emunah and Bitachon journey and realize that I'm not dependent on any of my efforts because you provide for me exclusively. You don't need my efforts. On the other hand, Hashem, you have commanded us to do the mitzvah of ishtadlus, to make an effort in this world. And it's so difficult to know where I'm holding on the ladder and the spectrum of Emunah and Bitachon to know exactly how much ishtadlus I'm supposed to apply. Hashem, I'm asking you with all my heart, please, Hashem, help me to have clarity exactly how much ishtadlus I am to put. And then you can speak about your specific situation, be it if a person's struggling with illness. Hashem, should I be visiting this doctor? Should I get a second opinion? Should I get a 20th opinion? Is that too much? Is that too little? You know, or Hashem, is it appropriate that I'm, you know what? I did a little bit of research and I'm not doing more. I'm actually just leaving it in your boat. And the same with Paranasa or any other area that we're dealing with. When you're putting it in Hashem's boat, when you're speaking to Him and asking Him to guide you. Now, a person will say, well, what do I do after that? A person who is sincere in their tefillah to Hashem will not have a need to ask that question, what do I do after that? Because Hashem is so great, and He can certainly find a way to tell you what to do. Usually in this world, it doesn't come in forms of a person being like a prophet and having direct revelations from Hashem. But Hashem will find another way to tell you. He'll give you suddenly a gut feeling, as we call it, or something else. Again, a gut feeling before talking to Hashem and before seeking Torah guidance, which is also one of the very important aspects. Obviously, a person, commonly taught, a person, if you have access and you have the ability in this situation to seek Das Torah, to ask someone who's in a position of knowing a lot of Torah and a tzaddik, etc., to ask what is the Torah's perspective in this situation. Once you've done that, you've reached out for Torah guidance, as well as you've really asked for Hashem to the best of your capacity. And again, there's a difference between talking to Hashem for 10 seconds and 10 minutes. And you know, there's a very big difference, being sincere in it. But once I've done those two things, I've reached out to Torah guidance, I've talked to Hashem, then when you have a gut feeling, it's very, very different to just relying on your gut feeling before doing that. Relying on your gut feeling, you know, could just be because you like the chocolate more than the vanilla. That's why you're going that route. I have a gut feeling for the chocolate. The reason you have that is because you like it more, you know, but it's not necessarily correct. Whereas a gut feeling, sometimes Hashem sends you because you have spoken to Him, and because you've seeked Das Torah, sometimes it comes as a gut feeling, sometimes in another form. Sometimes Hashem will send you another way to have certain clarity of this is the direction that you can take. And even if you don't have that clarity, whatever choice you do make after talking to Hashem sincerely is the right choice. One day when he asks you, why did you make this decision? Why didn't you go a different path? Wasn't it clear to you? Say, Hashem, I asked you for help. You knew it was beyond me. I knew it was beyond me. I relied on you. That is relying on Hashem. And again, when you're doing that, just to realize you're literally a success story for this world and for eternity. Because for this world, you're for sure going to make the right decision, whatever that is. You're putting it in Hashem's boat, He will make sure you make the right decision. Whereas if a person relies on their own cleverness and their own efforts, etc., they are very, very susceptible to mistakes, as we all make mistakes all the time. Even if we think we're the cleverest of the cleverest, we make mistakes all the time. And in terms of eternity, when you're relying on Hashem, again, this is relying on Hashem. You're saying, Hashem, I don't know what to do. I'm asking you, help me, help me. I don't want to make too much ishtadlus. It's one of the most dangerous things. A person sometimes it can seem like someone's so successful, but they actually, God forbid, can be the worst of the worst in terms of their eternity, because they're really relying on themselves completely. They're not relying on Hashem whatsoever. And Hashem doesn't make it look like that in this world. We'll only see in the next world. You know, so it's, but whereas a person is relying on Hashem, I don't know what to do, please help me, they will have the best places for eternity because they're really succeeding their emunah and bitachon. But to remind ourselves that the bottom line take home, how do I work out for myself which level of emunah and bitachon I'm on in truth, and therefore how much ishtadlus I have to apply? The bottom line is two things. Number one is seek das Torah, speak to people who are qualified and have the Torah knowledge, unless one is qualified themselves to know all the sources. There are many, many sources. One of the things we're doing in our series now with the Bitachon is we're going to go through a whole section of many, many Torah sources about Hishtadlus. There's many different opinions from A to Z, from the whole thing, that doing a lot of Ishtadlus is a huge mitzvah, down to opinions that say that you should aim to get to levels of bitachon, that you should completely minimize Ishtadlus. And again, that's part A, learning the information, seeking seeking Das Torah, guidance from Torah authorities when I'm not able to translate all the information myself. And B is to speak to Hashem, which is so, so important, and ask Him for guidance. Where exactly am I? How much emunah do I have? And speak to Him about your specifics in your specific situation. Watch how much ishtadlus should be doing and speak the ins and outs of it. Hashem, I don't want to do too much ishtadlus. It's a terrible, terrible aveira. If I fall into the trap of koichi ve'atem yadi, thinking that I'm the one making things happen, it's one of the worst curses in the world to think that that's literally the whole opposing the whole point of our existence. Whereas on the other side, a person has a mitzvah to do things in this world of hishtadlus. And I don't want to just use emunah and bitachon as an excuse not to fulfill my responsibility. You know, I'll just end off with one thought, and that is that many times people get involved in, you know, I have responsibility to make paranossa in this world or other areas. And very often what happens, people don't have a real picture of the next world. I've always said many times, as many of the Torah commentaries teach us, Mesillas Yesharim and many others, the starting point to living a serious life is realizing that death is really the start of real life. Why that is because there's another world, and the other world is eternity. And this world is, call it 120 years, it's nothing in comparison to eternity. So when a person's busy with making parnasa for their life in this world, fine, we have a mitzvah to do that. But what about the parnasa for eternity? Parnasa for eternity means I'm really, all the areas we know, I'm growing in my Torah learning, I'm doing my mitzvahs, I'm doing chesed, and all the areas I'm working on my middos. And the main area to make your parnasa for eternity is growing in your emunah and bitachon. So it's not a small thing. It's not a small thing for a person to be on the wrong side of the boat, to by mistake be doing too much ishtadlus. It's not a small thing. They might seem like a tremendously successful person in this world, but a person who's missing the boat and not living with emunah and bitachon, they literally could be not getting their parnasa for eternity, which is a real serious problem. You know, so Bezrat Hashem, we should all merit to, on the one hand, realize, yes, we have a mitzvah of ishtadlus and do our obligation in this world for our ishtadlus, be it for our parnasa or the other areas. On the other hand, we should focus on our real parnasa, and that is parnasa for eternity. Parnasa for eternity for our places that will literally, and the way we earn that parnasa is not by, you know, not by doing business deals, not by making money, it's by doing mitzvahs, and in particular by growing in our emunah and bitachon. One of the biggest dangers and oppositions to A life of emunah and bitachon is too much hishtadlus. So how do I know? I want to. I'm trying to grow. I want to do less hishtadlus maybe. I'm trying to grow in the ladder of emunah and bitachon to really rely on Hashem. But I don't want to also be insincere and just use hishtadlus and emunah and bitachon as an excuse. How do I know? Again, let's do our best. Learn the topic. Seek Torah guidance. And thereafter, talk to Hashem. Just ask Him, Hashem, my dear Father, please help me. We should all, Bezrat Hashem, merit the right levels of emunah and bitachon, as well as knowing how to apply hishtadlus in the correct way, according to the true emunah perspective in our lives.